Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
Today we continue our series titled, The Gay Christian Identity, What It Is and How to Respond. My guest is Joe Dallas, and our conversation is taken from his webinar with the same name. Joe is a conference speaker, an ordained pastoral counselor, and the program director of Genesis Biblical Counseling, which is a counseling ministry for men dealing with sexual addiction and other sexual relational problems. Today, we dive into the words of Jesus. Did Jesus ever say anything about homosexuality? Why or why not? And why does it matter? Well, let's find out. On today's episode of God, Sex, and You, we'll discuss three things. Number one, is the Bible your ultimate authority for life? Number two, have we replaced doctrine for entertainment? And number three, why reform must happen before revival? Today's show is titled, Jesus and the Homosexual. You know, there's a lot of talk that Jesus never said anything about homosexuality, Joe. So, you know, since Jesus didn't say anything, then what's the big deal here?
Well, of course, Dustin, we don't know whether or not he said anything about it, because according to John's gospel, all the books that were written at that time could not contain everything Jesus said or did.
Yeah.
So he may well have spoken on it. We don't know. But what we do know is, number one, there are lots of behaviors that the Gospels don't record Jesus condemning. According to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there is no record of Jesus condemning incest or wife beating or bestiality. Now, no reasonable person would say that he condones those behaviors just because he didn't specifically condemn them. He knew he was speaking primarily to Hebrew audiences who adhered to the law of Moses, and the law was very clear on sexual and moral issues. Therefore, there would probably have been no need for him to speak for or against homosexuality, because it was commonly understood that that, like adultery and fornication, was indeed a behavior prohibited by God. But more important than that, Jesus did talk about what God intended for the sexual and the marital experience. When he was asked a question about marriage, his response was, "Do you not know that he who created them created the male and female? For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. They will become one flesh. What God has joined together, let no one set asunder." Now, what he just did there, Dustin, was he laid out the standard. He said, this is what the Creator intended, that marriage be monogamous, that it be permanent, that it be independent, and that it be heterosexual. And anything falling short of that is, in fact, the definition of sin. So while it's true that in the gospel accounts, Jesus did not mention homosexuality as a sin, he did clarify what God intended the human sexual experience to be. And anything outside those parameters then would have to be recognized as falling short of God's will.
Joe, how important is it that we as Christians, and especially Christian leaders, whether you're a pastor, a priest, a minister, a lay leader, a small group leader, how important is it that we understand what you just said as far as that biblical definition of sexuality?
Ah, really, really important point, Dustin. I mean, something I often say, in fact, I say it so much, I'm beginning to sound like a parrot. We need to know the truth. We need to live the truth. We need to express the truth. First, we need to know it. What has God said? And I think a lot of our listeners, and probably you as well, will agree to, Dustin, that one of the biggest scandals of the modern church is the level of biblical ignorance.
Absolutely.
That exists in the church mm-hmm. today. We are not studying the Bible as we should. It's not being taken seriously as the ultimate authority for life, for questions about doctrine and experience and so forth. And because of that, there are many believers today who really don't know what God intended for the human sexual experience. And I think that speaks to the failure in many cases of us in the church to be teaching the Bible plainly and feeding the flock in that way. I think we have substituted doctrine too many times for either entertainment or pop psychology, and the result is a lot of ignorance. We need to know the truth. We need to live it. And I think this has been one of our biggest weaknesses too, Dustin, is that when it comes to homosexuality, for example, in the 70s and the 80s, the church very vehemently opposed homosexuality in the culture, while privately too many Christians were using pornography, committing adultery, sleeping together before marriage, and so forth. And when the terrible scandals in our own leadership hit the fan, the gay community said, oh, great. Here you are shaking your finger at us for sure. being so sinful, mm-hmm. and yet look at what is going on in your own ranks. Now, of course, most Christians are not guilty of those types of sins. I get that. But it does speak to the fact that we really have needed to take the log out of our own eye first. And then, yes, see clearly to point out the speck in somebody else's. So we have we still have a need for reform, and that's why your work is so important. You are educating the body. You're offering service to the body so that members of the body can be more conformed to what God intended. Reform, in my opinion, has to come before revival. We need a massive moral reformation in the church where we clean up our own act, where we equip believers to deal with the temptation to use pornography, the temptation to commit fornication, temptations towards homosexuality. We need to be more vibrant, more aggressive in preparing believers to deal with these things.
So, Joe, let me ask you this. Why is it that church leadership is so hesitant? Everybody wants to talk about revival, right? But yeah. I love what you said. You can't have revival unless you really address the hard issues. So is this issue too hard for church leadership to discuss?
That's another good question, Dustin. I don't think there's one answer that fits all people.
Sure.
I certainly don't think that every church leader who is hesitant to address homosexuality is just a coward. I don't think that's it at all. I'm sure there are some leaders who are simply timid and afraid. And those are the same leaders who probably would not want to take a position on abortion or, on sex before marriage and so forth. I think, though, in a lot of cases, well-meaning leaders have believed their own bad press. And let me explain that, Dustin. For years now, the media, Hollywood, even the psychiatric industry have all been saying that people who object to homosexuality are bigoted, are homophobic, cause damage. And there are even Christian leaders who say, you know, we have been so judgmental about this. We have been so harsh and unloving that we probably shouldn't say anything. And I think that a lot of pastors are influenced by that into thinking, hey, the way to show love to a homosexual person is to pretend that homosexuality is okay with God. Now, let me be real quick to say this, Dustin. I hope we welcome everyone into our churches, gays, lesbians, transgender,
amen,
whatever, you know, guys who cheat on their tax returns. I mean, right. We've got plenty of room for sinners in our churches.
Yes,
so
we
let's
do.
Get them in. Mm-hmm. There's no reason we shouldn't treat everyone with respect and affection and love them and serve them. So I'm not at all saying that if you know somebody who's gay or lesbian, you have a mandate to say to them, do you know that Leviticus condemns this? No, of course not.
Right.
The primary issue should be the gospel. We want people to be born again. And then, of course, as people are inquiring about what God would require of them, yes, we would have to point out we all have to take up our cross. We all have to say no to things that seem natural to us. With you, it may be a homosexuality. With me, it may be a bad temper or my big mouth, but sin is sin. We all have to reckon with it.
Sure.
But I think that some leaders mistakenly think that it is somehow damaging to say, yes, this is what God intended, and no, this is not what God intended. And I think that at times we are, as a church, in danger of thinking that if we get people to feel good about us and to like us and to think we're very loving, that that means we've reached them, and that's not true. We may be getting along better with people, and I'm all for that. But unless people are converted either from death to life and born again, or converted from error to truth, then I wouldn't say we've reached them.
Yeah.
So I think that we need to rethink what it means to reach people. And that, I think, is why there's such ambivalence or timidity in modern leadership when it comes to addressing this. Besides, you know, and I know, and everybody knows, it's a hornet's nest.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Take a stand on this, and you're going to generate controversy. But, hey, come on now. Since when has the Church of Jesus Christ not been controversial?
Yeah, if we're not being controversial, we're doing something wrong. That's for
well,
sure.
That's my point. I mean, what was the church in the book of Acts, if not controversial?
Yeah,
for
no kidding.
Sake. It's not that we're trying to make trouble. We're not.
That's so true.
If you speak and go against the tides, you will be controversial. And, of course, no one could have been more controversial than Jesus. And he's the one who said, the servant is not above his Lord.
I want to read that passage that Joe just quoted. It comes from John chapter 15, verse 18. These are the words of Jesus. If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. But you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. And since they persecuted me, well, naturally, they're going to persecute you. And if they didn't listen to me, they're not going to listen to you. They'll do all of this because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. They would not be guilty if I hadn't come and spoken to them. But now, they've got no excuse for their sin. Anyone who hates me also hates my Father. If I hadn't done such miraculous signs among them that no one else could do, they would not be guilty. But as it is, they have seen everything that I did, yet they still hate me and my Father. This fulfills what is written in their scriptures. They hated me without a cause. Let's remember, friend, that Jesus was murdered because he didn't just speak the truth. He is truth. And if you take a stand for biblical sexuality and traditional marriage, the world will hate you. You can bank on that, but remember the words of Jesus. Since they persecuted me, well, naturally, they will persecute you. Well, I would encourage you to visit joedallas.com and sign up for that webinar coming up on Saturday, February the 3rd. It's from his series, The Gay Christian Identity, What It Is and How to Respond. This Saturday, he'll be discussing marriages that have been damaged by sexual sin. And tomorrow, we'll continue our conversation with Joe Dallas, and we're going to ask the question, one of several, my child just told me that they're gay. Now what? Thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. I wanted to let you know, starting in March, you will be able to ask me questions with some online weekly groups. I'm going to be talking about my new book, The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. And I've developed an online course and some weekly groups around that material. So if you're not involved in a weekly group, you have no one to talk to, or you just want to learn this information, or maybe you just want to ask me some questions personally, jump on the website, dustindaniels.org, get signed up, and I'll see you online. Lastly, if you have a question or comment about today's episode, you can join the conversation at dustindaniels.org. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Purity Pastor. You can also rate the show. I sure would appreciate if you would do that. And if something stuck out today with the conversation that we had with Joe Dallas, go ahead and share this episode with a friend, maybe your pastor, your priest, your minister, or your small group leader. Jesus said in Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Walk worthy today, my friend, as you cling to Jesus. I love you and look forward to our time again tomorrow.